You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
This sacred desk. He doesn't have to do it, and I thank God that he allowed me to. Reverend Minor kind of took my whole little sermon in a nutshell, so I'm trying to figure out what to say. Amen. What I love about it is I've heard that May is the oldest, and I've heard that Livingston is the favorite. I like the faithful. I'm the baby. The good one. I like that one. Amen. But the reality is all of us just really want to be like him. I think that's the commonality in all of us. We see something in him. We feel the power and presence, and we just want to be like that. Amen. Because he's cool. He's very cool. He's very cool. Amen. 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 Listen, when I first became a member here, I was trying to figure out what the smell was. Say, somebody got on a cologne and it smelled good. I had never smelt it before. And so I was asking, who got on that cologne? What is that? Nobody would tell me, though. It's the pastor. That's his secret smell. Somebody gonna tell me what this cologne is. And lo and behold, me and Candace got really close because Candace is the one that told me it was gray flannel. I said, when I get older, I want some gray flannel in my life because it smelled good. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Just want to read beginning with verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 17. Thank God for my brethren in the gospel. Because there you will find these words, 1 Kings chapter number 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself in a brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt in the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Going back to verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God liveth, a God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. I want to talk this morning from the thought, after 40 years, what to preach. After 40 years, what to preach. Beloved of God, I want to submit unto you today that one of the hardest assignments that I know now is this preaching pastoring assignment. It comes with so much responsibility, but oftentimes it's not the work of Monday through Friday that really bothers the preacher. It is standing before the people of God to preach a word to you that we really don't want to preach. Please don't take it for granted that your pastor wants to preach everything that he preaches to you, because he don't. You have often heard pastors say he sometimes wish he could preach a happy sermon, but it just ain't what God has given him. And oftentimes the assignment that God has on the preacher's pastor's life is that of a hard assignment to proclaim a word to you that will not just shout you, but that will correct you when you live wrong. We have the responsibility to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and to stir up. We have the responsibility of getting you together when you don't like it. And the reality is, some of y'all, you get mad at the preacher and the pastor because you know you can't fight with God, so you think you don't come to church just to show us up because you ain't like what we had to say. But the reality is, it wasn't the preacher that had to say it, it was God. And so one of the hardest assignments is to stand behind the sacred desk and proclaim the word of God to the people of God who think they got it all together and know it all on the surface. But if they tell the truth, when they go home, they struggle with life. They struggle with life decisions, struggle with life circumstances. They know they have made bad choice after bad choice, but don't want nobody to correct them on the bad choices. And God gives you a word in the midst of a crisis to speak to the people that you really don't want to speak, because people judge you and they won't think it comes from God. It's amazing to me that people always think that the blessings come from God. If he was to speak and tell you when you go home, it'll be a check in the mail. God sent that word. But the moment the preacher preaches a word of correction, why was he all in my business? Why he on my social media page? Why he talking to my family? Why he this and why he that? It's only a word from God when it makes you feel good. But when it's a word that makes you feel bad, the preacher was all in your business. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm preaching, because I've been pastoring 2 years now, so I know how this thing go. I've learned a thing or two in my time that folk will shout when the blessing comes, but they don't want to shout when the preacher brings order to your life and order to the church and order so that you might align yourself with the will of God. Don't worry, I'm already in my text today. We find Elijah comes out of nowhere with Dean Kearns. We have no history for Elijah. We don't know who his mama is. We don't know who his daddy is. We don't have a birthday for him. We don't have an age for him. We have nothing for him. But when he shows up on the scene, he has a divine assignment to preach a word to a devilish king and his wife. For you learn today that Ahab is married to Jezebel. And Ahab and Jezebel has successfully led the children of Israel and Judah into idolatrous worship. They are now worshiping Baal. They are now giving Baal the glory that belongs to God. Can I back up and just show you something that bothers my nerves, Sister Twyman? Here is what bothers my nerve. Israel means God's prevail. Judah means praisers. And yet the people that God has given victory to and through, and the people that should be giving God glory, is giving it to Baal. I'll try it one more time. God prevails. He has given his people victory. He's brought them from Egypt. He's brought them. Now they're getting ready to walk into the promised land and everything that God has for them. And yet they are worshiping something that God is not blessing. I'm trying to preach one more time. Is there anybody in here? You know somebody in your life. Don't look at yourself. Don't tap yourself, because I don't want nobody to think you're guilty. You've been guilty, or you know somebody that's guilty of giving somebody else God's glory when it was really God that made a way. It was really God that opened doors. It was really God that blessed you. Let me try it like this. You've been giving credit to your job as if your job is the source of your income, when the reality is God is the one that opened the door for you to get the job. God is the one that woke you up so that you could get to the job. God is the one that gave you the strength to get to the job. And yet you want to say, I thank God for Chrysler. No, baby, you want to thank God for being God and blessing you to keep the job at Chrysler, Ford, and whatever else you're. Wait, don't give nobody else God's glory. You got to learn how to give God his own glory. It's interesting that the people of God are worshiping Baal because of Jezebel and Ahab. And Tito, here's what happens. God gets fed up with other people getting his glory. And so
he says to the prophet, go preach to Ahab and Jezebel and tell them I'm shutting it all down. Ain't gonna be no more rain. Ain't gonna be no dew. I'm shutting it down. I told y'all at the beginning of this that Elijah don't have no history. Nobody knows who Elijah is. But Elijah gets the responsibility to go and carry the word of God, to preach the word of God, speak the word of God, and don't nobody know his history. Nobody voted him in. There was no search committee. God appointed him. And now he has the responsibility to preach a word that he really don't know who he's preaching to. All he knows is God told me to do it. Pastor Twyman, I want to tell you, sir, I thank God that you have done everything God told you to do. I thank God that you preached the word when we didn't want to hear it. I thank God that you preached the word when it was tough for you. I thank God that you preached the word when it got us together. I thank God that you preached the word when it shut us down and told us, guess what? You've been living wrong and you've been talking wrong and you've been acting wrong. Is there anybody in here that can thank God for a preacher pastor that knows how to preach exactly what God says when God said it so that it can get you in line with the will of God so that you can get everything God has for you and the Bible says? Thank you. That the word came to him, and when the word came to him, says, go preach to Ahab and tell him I'm shutting it all down. If you read it in the Message Bible, this is what really shouted me. When you pick up chapter number 17, it says, and this happened. Yeah. Before we learn of Ahab and Jezebel leading them astray, but by the time we get to number 17, chapter number 17, it says, and this happened. Want to submit unto you that only going to last for a certain season when you are going to be able to defy the word of God and think you get away with it. Because there's going to come a time where God will send a warning to you that it's getting ready to end, and you might not believe it, but that don't mean it's not going to happen. Now, here it is. I'm ready now. All that was historical fact. Here's what text tells us. Text reveals to us that Elijah does exactly what God says to do. And when he did exactly what God says to do, God came to him again and said, hey, get out of town. I want you to go to Cherith. Cherith is translated as a cutout place. So he tells him, I want you to leave here, go to Cherith, a cutout place. And I want you to chill in a cutout place. Because I'm getting ready to shut up the rain and dew over here. But in the cutout place, I want you to drink. Okay. Try it one more time. Which means God allowed it to rain long enough to fill up the cutout place so that the man of God will have provision when God chastised his people. Okay. Because here it is, contrary to popular belief, the text reveals to us that just because the people are struggling don't mean the man of God is supposed to. All right, let me see. Well, why is it that the man of God is not supposed to struggle when the people are struggling? Because there's a difference between Elijah and the people. You ready? The difference is Elijah obeyed God where the people disobeyed God. And so God's provision for Elijah was because Elijah knew how to obey where the people chose to disobey. Maybe the reason why you struggling in life and the preacher is successful is because the preacher learned how to obey where you still struggling with love your neighbor as yourself. Y'all ain't got to say amen, but I'm preaching better than you talking this morning. Is there anybody in here that can say, baby, I know there's been some struggles in my life because of my disobedience, and I can't judge where somebody else is because of what I did wrong. Tells Elijah, hey, bud, a cutout place is what I got for you. I want you to go into the cutout place. when you get into the cutout place, drink. And know that I have assigned ravens to bring you bread and flesh day and night. All right, Pastor Twyman, this bothered my nerve because in Leviticus chapter number 11, it reveals to us that ravens are dirty birds. Mean, cantankerous, smart, evil, dirty birds. According to Leviticus, we ain't supposed to have no dealings with ravens. But yet the Bible says God assigned ravens, dirty birds, to bring bread and flesh day and night to Elijah, which means that God supplied a blessing to the preacher through an unlikely unlikely source because of his obedience. Try it one more time. God allowed the preacher to be blessed through an unlikely source because of his obedience. Let me see if I put some Bible on it. Meaning God knows how to make what's bad for you work for you. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. He knows how to make those who don't like you all of a sudden want to bless you. I'm trying to help you get it today. God knows how to take your enemies and make them your footstools. God knows how to use people who says, guess what? I can't stand your guts, but yet I'll bless you anyhow. Okay. Y'all didn't see it. Let me see. They are ravens, dirty birds. And God told the ravens day and night, go take care of the preacher. Here's what I discovered with ravens. Dean Ross, they travel and fly in packs. Their beaks are not strong enough to really kill anything, but they make a loud noise. Ravens like to quack a lot. And so here's what I discovered. Searching and learning of a raven. Ravens tend to quack after single prey. They make a lot of noise around an innocent single prey. They don't attack the prey. They just draw attention to the prey. And in drawing attention to the prey, what they really do is lead lions to the prey. They are leading lions away from something to something. And when they lead the lions away from it to something, the lions then attack the single prey that the ravens have picked out. And at the moment when the lions attack, the ravens then say, okay, you've got them down, you've defeated them. Then the ravens swarm around the lion. It causes the lion to back up out of fear. When the lion backs up out of fear, that's when the raven swoops in, picks up what it wants, and flies away with it. Try it one more time. The ravens swoop down on the lion to cause it to back away from the prey it just ripped apart so that the ravens can get what's absolutely necessary for them to take and go wherever they're supposed to go with it. Let me try this one more time for my Holy Ghost mind. The whole purpose of the raven, it initially drew the attention away from something. The loud noise drew the attention of the lion away from something. You still ain't caught it. The loud noise of the raven drew the attention away from Cherith. Y'all still ain't helping me. Don't you know that's where Elijah was, in the brook of Cherith? And so the loud noise drew the lion that would have destroyed the man of God away. And the same noise that drew them away is the same noise that allowed them to get the blessing to the man of God. So what am I trying to tell you today? Every now and then, the loud noise of the crowd works in your benefit, just like you when you don't think it's supposed to. Let me see. I'm going to try it a different way, Pastor Twyman, because that's the only point I had on my notes today. And that didn't seem to work. Big bro, what it really reveals to us is that God sometimes allows your enemies to make noise. And the purpose of the noise from your enemies is so that what your enemy is doing is giving you protection while you're in God's provision. And you've got to learn to stop being mad at your enemies and sometimes learn that God is using your enemies as a source to block the enemy from taking you out. And the only reason it works like that is because you obey God enough that God says, I can't let nothing take you out. Okay, so here it is. The ravens come day and night, and they feed them. The brook dries up. He tells them, hey, bud, it's time to move on to the next place because I prepared another place for you, because even when this runs out, I got more for you. And so because he had more for him after it ran out, Elijah moves on. Let me back up, try the whole story one more time. Preacher gets the word. Go preach it. Tell them I'm shutting down the rain. He shuts down the rain and the dew. When he shuts down the rain and the dew, he tells them, hey, bud, get out of town. I prepared a brook for you called Cherith. Go chill in the brook. While you're chilling in the brook, getting your cool on and your sip on day and night, I got ravens coming to feed you because I know how to provide and protect for you. The preacher man preached the word of God in a season where Ahab and his wife didn't want to hear it. And when he preached the word, when the people didn't want to hear it, God protected and provided for the preacher because he obeyed. So Pastor Twyman, after 40 years, 43 years of preaching, 40 years of pastor, I want to tell you, keep on preaching it. Here's the reason why. Because God always provides and protects for his man when he preaches it. God always covers his man when he preaches it. God always makes sure that nothing comes to his man harmful when he preaches it. I'm quite sure you've seen many storms and many trials. I'm quite sure you've seen many troubles, but guess what? God always pulled you through it because he always provides and protects. So after 40 years of pastoring and 43 years of preaching, I want to tell you, preach it again. Every time you stand up, just keep preaching the same thing, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Preach it again. Telling them that, guess what, one day Jesus is coming back and you better have your business in order. Preach it again. You can live like you want to. Don't live your best life down here and die, then die and go to hell. Tell them preserve something for a place that's been prepared for them. Preach it yet again. Is there anybody in here just want Pastor Twyman to preach it one more time? Can I tell you what I really want to hear him say one more time? I just want to hear him say he died one Friday on a hill called Calvary. I want to hear him say it one more time, that he was hung between his mother on earth and his father in heaven. I want to hear him say it one more time, that he died until the earth shook. He died till the earth looked like a drunken man. He died till the moon turned bloodshot red. I don't know about you, but I just want to hear my man of God say he died. He was buried, but early the third day morning, he rose with all power in his hand. He got up just like he said he would. So pastor, preach it one more time. Even when it looked like we don't want to hear, keep preaching it. Even when we act like we don't want to hear, keep preaching it, because we need a word from the Lord to change our minds, to change our heart, to give us strength in the fight. We need a word. We need a word. Our pastor has the responsibility of preaching to us, not what we want to hear, what we need to hear. I didn't come by today with a cute message. I came by here to talk to my daddy. Daddy, keep preaching to us. Keep challenging us. And let me talk to my brothers and sisters. Don't give daddy a hard time for doing what God called him to do. We ought to preserve his life by being obedient to the word of God. You ain't got like me. I'm the baby boy. That's why you got the faithful son here. I'm just telling y'all the truth. Because the more we obey, the easier it is for him to pray. Let's love on our man of God. So that when he stands here, he stands here with joy in his heart and not sorrow because of the sin of the parishioners. Amen. Let's honor him and his legacy by how we live, what he has preached to us.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.